Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy Friday to you. Happy game four. Yep. Boston seeking its 18th NBA title tonight in Dallas. They can close it out. Sweep these boys. We'll see if they do. Very interested to hear which side my man John Martin is on today. Luka's last stand? What will it be tonight? He certainly, he's faced enough criticism since that game three performance. I would expect him to go out firing all his bullets. We will talk, obviously, about Game 4 tonight. You can hear it all, of course, right here live on 92.9 FM ESPN, starting at 7:30. Yes, Celtics-Mavs. Stanley Cup also apparently almost over, too, John. If you're paying attention to hockey, Carolina Panthers are up through. I've watched a little bit of that. That's why I bring it up. Because some of these nights have been lonely.
Yeah, they have.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Especially if you're not into baseball right now. And my Cubbies aren't doing anything to where I need to be paying attention to baseball.
Even
right
with Imanaga?
Even with him. My dad's flipped on me. He's left us and gone Dodgers.
Oh.
He likes rooting for Ohtani. So, I don't have much going on in baseball. Okay? So, yeah. Tonight I'm watching hockey. And that's apparently almost over two. Carolina Panthers up 3-0. Speaking of rings,
not the Carolina Panthers, fool.
What did I say?
The Carolina Panthers.
Carolina.
I think you're thinking about the Florida Panthers.
You think? Yeah. Of course they're in the final.
Yeah. Yeah, Florida Panthers, 3-0.
That's easily understandable. We're an NFL show.
That's right.
As opposed to a hockey show.
That's right. That were our chance, though.
And listen, you had to jump in. You cut off a nice transition there because I said, speaking of rings. And I was then turning it
right
to the Chiefs. But you just killed that.
Now we had
because
to
you got to come in and get
accountability.
Your accountability. And I don't appreciate that.
Carolina Panthers.
You see, so when you were gone last month, that didn't happen.
That's right. How many shots on goal for Bryce Young last night, man?
Zero. He didn't finish the game. Boy, body didn't hold up.
What about Adam Thielen?
I don't watch a ton of hockey, so you can understand a slip of the tongue.
You have watched some of this, though?
Yes, I watched game two.
Gotcha. Game two.
Carolina's in control. Florida's in control.
Florida is in control. Man.
We're going to move on from hockey because we don't live here.
That's right.
And it's very obvious.
That's right.
Trevor Lawrence got paid. That's something I know about. And guess what? Caitlin Clark back in the news.
Oh, God.
I just had to tell you. We don't have to talk about
it. No, I know. I saw it yesterday.
She took some heat.
No, she
old
did.
Jim Trotter tried to twist her up, it looked like.
And then Dejanay got on her.
Well, And God bless her. She didn't want to have to answer these questions.
Man.
And I think with Jim on that third question, she had gotten so frustrated. She didn't hear it. And so when she, when he was kind of saying, well, you, they're using your name, you know, they're weaponizing your name. Do you care? And she had reached a point where she just wanted to talk basketball, right? And so that came off as, I don't care, because that's how it came out.
Exactly.
She came back and corrected the record, which is, I'm sure, how she felt initially.
Right.
I don't know if you saw it later on.
Yes, I did.
But it's just, I mean, she can't go anywhere without being, you know, at the center of this conversation about how it's, how divisive she is.
Yes.
How divisive her name is.
I will say this, too, and we'll get into this, I'm sure. The second question was much more specific than the first. I mean, the second question asker, it was not, the second one was not Trotter. The second one was a guy from The Athletic.
Okay, I thought I heard the same guy three times.
Yeah, this guy was, he covers the Colts for The Athletic.
All right.
And he asked specifically about racism and misogyny. He asked specifically, you know, Jim was kind of hinting at it without saying it.
Okay.
About your name being used to weaponize the body.
Yeah, I'm glad you corrected me. I thought Jim had asked all those questions.
But because there were two separate settings. There was like the shoot around, and then there was a different, you know, a different setting. So, again, if I'm to believe that these are from the same day, you know, then there were two different questions that were asked, and one was a little bit more, I think, cut to the heart of it and were into the specifics. I think it's possible that Caitlin almost might have even misinterpreted Jim's question.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like she might not have.
I'm telling you, she would have gave the answer she gave later on initially.
Yeah,
but again, I could sense sort of she's not being asked about basketball. You could feel the frustration. She was ready to be done with that line of questioning.
Yeah,
so I don't think, like you said, she interpreted that third, fourth one, whatever it was.
Yeah,
what they were really asking.
Yeah, well, anyway, we'll touch on it today. We'll get into that. The series extender. It has been called in for Mavs Celtics tonight. Scott Foster, he will be officiating.
I see.
And, you know, he has the rep for this being the extender. So we will certainly talk about that. We'll have Fade Brad. Fade Brad is in the building. And so he will get potentially his last pick of the NBA season.
It's finishing strong, unfortunately.
For him, it is.
The
for
bonus
him it is.
Picks, though. You know, sort of even
if you're taking the bonus picks, then you are certainly above water.
He's on a losing run there,
but we don't count those to the official record.
No, we don't.
So that is the thing. And again, you're up. Okay, if you started this endeavor and you stayed with it,
still 10 games over 500.
Yeah, which I think would put you at about you know, 7 units or so. Six to seven units. Which, hey, that's not bad just to listen to the show.
Well, especially if it's your units.
That's right. Especially if it's so that would be, for me, that would be about, you know.
You don't have to say it. We know.
Yeah, okay. So
thousands.
It would be thousands. It would definitely be thousands. I have made a bet tonight.
Oh.
I can tell you that right now.
I knew you had. That's why I said it in my monologue. Interested to see what side you're on.
And I'm willing to say this.
Because I know what side Brad's on. He made that clear this morning.
I'm willing to say this.
Preview.
It is either the Celtics or the Mavs. It's one of the two.
All right.
It's one of the two. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But I heard you talking about the Tigers event, the Tigers on Tour with Jeff. They had the final one last night at Owner's Box.
Third and final.
In Lakeland.
Correct.
And it was, from what I see here at the Daily Memphian, standing room only.
Packed. Including your boss, Dave Boy, was out there.
Yeah, everybody was. Were you out there?
One of the DM bosses. I was not.
Okay. Did you make any of the Tigers on Tour events?
No.
Okay. So you, because you know, you're done with the talk.
Well.
You want to see the production.
Penny only made one more than I did.
Penny only made one more than you did. So it was really not much of a tour, was it, for Penny?
Shout out to Ryan Silverfield. He had that place packed last night. That was a football crowd, looked like to me.
It was not much of a tour for the Memphis basketball coach.
Well, the first one was great.
Yeah.
I think you didn't get it because we talked about it here on the show. The great thing about the first one, which I think was that with Rotolo's in Collierville, again, Ryan's been at all of them. Credit to him. Credit to Alex Simmons, the women's basketball coach. I think Reiser's been to him as well. But I know for sure Silverfield and Simmons have both been at all of them. But Penny, at that first one, we didn't realize that at that time he had signed those transfer portal guys. And so you got comments on each one of them for the first time since he brought them in. I think at that time it was six. You know, you hadn't brought in Musa, if I remember correctly. But the point was, it was great. Penny was out there smiling. Got Wolo out there. I think it was Wolo doing that one. You got Wolo out there, and he's smiling, talking about these guys coming in. It's great. It's kind of what you want and what you'd envisioned for three stops, right? Didn't do the second one, and then last night, apparently folks knew beforehand, you know, that Penny wasn't going to be able to make it. I've pointed out, I mean, we know Penny's got a situation with his mom. She's in ill health and dealing with that. But you'd like to see, right, your head coach who's in a situation where you need to build some buzz around this program. Frankly, you've got to, you know, you don't owe it to me and John. You owe it to the fans right now.
Yeah.
They want to know what the plan is.
Yeah.
You know, John, there's all these reports about the assistant coaching staff changing. We don't know where Andre Turner's going. What about, you know, Mike Davis? You know, then there's the players themselves. And what I'm saying is, if this is based in a frustration,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's David Jones, the state of college basketball, you know, where he thought he'd be, where he is, brother, you got to set that to the side, because it's just as much, as I told Jeff this morning, as it is to win games,
yep.
get Memphis back to the tournament, win in the tournament, just as much as that's your job, so is selling the program. And this is a critical time where the program needs selling.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just do it on its own. And so, again, here's the thing. I didn't say this with Jeff, but it makes a lot of sense, right? If Penny can't make it, which apparently was the understanding, the other head coaches are there, can you send Stansberry? Can you send someone else on the staff? Can you send Andre Turner? Maybe that's not finalized yet. But my point would be, how about a representative, right? So you can speak to this standing room only crowd, you know, about what the plan is.
That's interesting. They definitely should have done that. They definitely should have done that.
You have a standing room only crowd, and again,
it's a University of Memphis sports event.
A lot of that. I mean, you have to. Silverfield has done a great job, because, and I made this point to Jeff, we've knocked Ryan, right, on selling the program, whether that's on you know, media appearances, whatever else, but more so on that. We always go back to Norvell. Oh, he really understood it. Ryan's done a hell of a job this offseason. And in addition to the work in the transfer portal, what you've done with your team, everything, but selling the program. And he's got a lot to sell right now. It's a little bit easier right now, obviously. But that's a credit to him as well, with the way you finished the season, 10 wins, huge win in the Liberty Bowl in terms of momentum. And now, as I said, seems like things have aligned. FedEx is coming in here with money. You know, and he is out there selling it, not ducking expectations, at a time where it feels like, yes, there's more excitement around this Tigers football program
right.
than there's been in a long time. Credit to him, and I think that's a reason, that's the big reason why you had a packed house. It's also an opportunity for men's basketball right there.
It is.
In front of that packed house, who may or may not, probably there for mostly, but it's an opportunity for men's basketball right there that you missed. I credit, again, Alex is out there, the coach of the women's basketball team, you know, trying to sell her program.
Exactly.
And it's not like, John, attendance or turnstile count or season tickets are going up.
Oh, they're not.
So this isn't a time where you can lay off. And again, this isn't some huge, you know, Penny got to be out selling every day. But this was a missed opportunity. You missed two of the three, you know, at a time that you need to drum up as much support and enthusiasm and excitement as possible.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Am I? Yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
And at the very least, no, it's not. But that Penny didn't show up.
Yeah.
But can you get someone else there? Surely you can.
Well, I think that's right.
Rick's actually been in those situations. Probably do a hell of a job in those situations. That's just one guy you could have sent.
Yeah, again, I don't know.
Who he knows on the staff.
I don't know where or what Penny was doing.
I mean, maybe Rick's on vacation. Who knows?
Well, again, yeah. Send someone.
And I think it's very important in this conversation to point out, right. because Penny has made it public that he's dealing with the issue with his mom. Could have been an issue there.
Also, though, I will say,
this is two of the three.
There's so much turnover with his assistant coaches that if you're telling me, again, we don't know, but if Rick's on vacation, there's not another one to send.
Right.
Because Faraji got moved or is in the process of being moved.
Right.
And you're not going to, you know, again.
Understand that if Rick's on vacation.
I don't know. Listen,
but these have been planned out for a while, man.
Exactly.
This three-tour stop.
Yeah.
You know, and so it just seems like, at the very least, missed opportunity.
I mean, yeah, because you have to realize you have to sell your basketball now.
Right, and so what I'm hoping it's not is just it's based out of a frustration right now, sort of a way Penny's feeling. We go back to the golf event, you know, the Liberty Bowl, the classic, and how Penny didn't want to answer basketball questions, right? Certainly nothing on David Jones. You just hope it's not out of a frustration right now, right? Because you need Penny Hardaway excited about this program. You need Penny Hardaway energized about this thing, because that's the only way you're going to get any buzz or excitement about it. So I'm just hoping he's not so down, not so dejected. We've seen Penny down after losses. We've seen Penny down after about NIL.
Yeah.
But he gets back up. And so I'm just hopeful this is not, you know, and I'm sure there's a reasonable explanation why he wasn't there. Is there one, though, for why you didn't have a representative for men's basketball at a place that is full? At an event that you've packed the house in terms of support. Okay,
You know, you'd like to, you know, at the very least, missed opportunities.
Yeah. Look, again, it's not, it won't matter if we look up in 4 months or 6 months and the Tigers are doing well, right? It's not going
to
be.
But again, your job ain't just to win games, man. Your job is just as much to sell the program as much to, as
and,
well.
And look, I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to realize that season ticket sales are not going to be up, that they're going to struggle with attendance, you know, this year. They just are. They're going to.
I mean, part of it. We can't change the rules. You know, we can adjust them because Penny's a program legend, right? But we can't change them. You know, Tubby Smith wasn't out selling the program either. What we say, bad fit. But what we always said was that was part of it, right? It can't just be what's happening on the court, especially at a time where you don't have an upward trajectory in terms of enthusiasm like Tigers football has right now. And so that's just as important a part around here with that program. And I know Penny knows this, but it's the people's program, right? It's this fan base that is so long and, you know, so thoroughly supported it that, you know, is owed some clarity here, some sort of what is the plan? Hey, can you get us there? And that's what it felt like these Tigers on tour stop were intended to do. Did it for football.
Right.
You know, you certainly didn't miss there.
Yeah. So, listen, I will say, like, it's, again, Penny should have been there. If he had the ability to be there. But it is a little bit easier to face everybody when you're Ryan Silverfield right now than it is if you're Penny, in fairness. Right. Again, he should have been there. I'm not trying to defend him not being there.
Yeah, but getting it where it is Ryan Silverfield, right? Having the opportunity now to sell it a little bit easier, like you're telling, it is easier coming off the season that you had. That's a credit.
And the FedEx, and you keep everybody.
See, that's about it all coming together right time. But, again, if you're not winning the 10 games, if you're not winning the Liberty Bowl against Iowa State, you know, having that kind of performance, are people as excited? He's capitalizing, yes, but you have to credit him for getting the program in a position to do so, to make it easier to sell, because you went out there and the way you finished last year, let's be real. I mean, it wasn't about what you did in the American. But again, as I said this morning too, you know, it's not like the margin for error has widened for Ryan Silverfield. If he doesn't make an AAC title game, he can lose all of this. It feels like just as quickly as it feels like he's built it up. But I guess this is more rooted in, man, I just hope Penny's not down on this thing. I hope he's not down on, you know, losing Jones. I know was a blow, but we've seen with the way he can get players, with what he's got. I mean, I've listened to you talk about it. You know, whether it looks like a team that could make the tournament. Is it going to make any noise? We don't know. It needs another guy. You could have a moderately successful season.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about excitement and buy-in back, bro.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. That's what these shortstops were intended to do.
It starts in the grassroots. You know what I mean? Like, out there in the community, you know, we talk about it all the time. You're not living off that post-Tubby Penny's here high anymore. That buzz is gone, right? So you have to manufacture it again, and
especially coming off of a season where you missed the tournament.
Yeah,
this isn't a season where you just made a Sweet 16 push and
100%.
You can lay low because everybody believes in you,
no doubt. But he just doesn't. He clearly is totally uninterested in doing anything publicly. Could not be more obvious, because we going back to that golf tournament interview.
Well, he said it there.
He didn't show up last night. Like, he didn't show up to the other. It just seems like he is very happy to be far and away out of the public eye, which is his prerogative, but it's not conducive to people feeling like it's not conducive to the vibes, right? Because it's just odd. It's odd at best. It's odd. You would just say he's the basketball coach. You're doing a university sanctioned. It's easy, right? This is not going up in front of. You know, whoever. This is your fan base.
Especially because it's not just on you anymore. Silverfield's actually got a good thing going on.
So, no doubt.
So he's going to suck up a lot of it.
Right.
Not like you're going to have to be out there and carrying the thing right now because of the excitement for football.
And again, was this...
Which makes it easier.
Was this pre-announced that he was not going to be there? I don't believe it was.
Yeah. They're saying that people understood he wasn't going to be there.
Oh, they did
know that. They had done that before the second one.
Okay.
Again, if you know beforehand... Even more reason to have another representative. Now, I realize a lot of the staff in flux, maybe Rick had something to do, but you've had two of these three where men's basketball hadn't been represented.
It's not a Memphis football event.
Right.
I mean, that's what it is.
Well, if it was, Alex Simmons wouldn't be there for her third straight one. That's Matt Reiser wouldn't be there. That's the point. This was not a football-only event.
Exactly.
There's an opportunity out there to sell your basketball program like you're selling all your other programs, and It's a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Again, how important is that to Penny Hardaway right now? I think he's letting us know.
Exactly.
Maybe in his eyes, man, getting these players, getting back, you know, getting on this workout floor and everything else is the most important thing, and sure, that should be. But again, selling the program is part of the gig, John.
Yeah. And well, they're not getting Kaluma, so, I mean, they you know, I don't know.
You know, the other part, like, here's the other part about that, why there's more pressure on you to do. Because this is, college basketball is different right now. The Tigers fans don't know these players. They're all new. You know what I'm saying? This isn't a deal where you, like, you got DeAndre Williams coming back.
You got new faces.
Right, and you can get behind that. I'm excited about DeAndre and seeing him.
You got to talk to people about him.
It's a whole new team, dude.
Introduce them. Tell them about
him. That's what I'm saying. And that
here's Dane Danger. Dane Danger's X, Y, and Z.
That is happening all over college basketball where you have to reintroduce your team every
year. Man, we're excited about Tyrese Hunter.
And you have to tell people who these people are.
P.J. Haggerty.
To get them excited. Yeah, I mean, it's basketball, you know, coaching 101.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, it's a part of it. I realize it's not a fun part for Penny.
No doubt.
A freaking celebrity. You know, there are people in your face, but that's part of this gig.
You can't be above it.
And it just feels like at this time, through 6 years, about to go into seven,
yep.
We got one tournament win.
Yep.
I need to be convincing people that I got this. And I just hope he's not so beat down, whatever the word is, frustrated, you know, that he said, you know, I don't need this because this program needs it right now. I mean, it's always needed it, but particularly coming off of a season like last year. Where folks are a little sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
Am I bought in or not, man? I don't know. I don't know these players. Bringing new ones in every year. Is Penny checked in? Is he checked out? You got to bring him back in. We said the same thing about Ryan Silverfield last year.
Yeah,
you can't change the standard just because he's a program legend. And so, man, I hope he's cool. You know what I'm saying? I hope everything's good.
Yeah, I mean, again, we don't know, right? But it's just...
I think it's important part of the mom thing. Like that.
Yeah,
a situation because it's been publicized.
Sure.
And we certainly feel for him on that.
Absolutely. That's not an easy thing to deal with. We can't know. But, you know, this is something that, as we've pointed out, has been, you know, on the schedule. And it's not like he went to two or three. He went to the first one, and then that was it. If you go to two or three, okay, we can sort of forgive an absence here, right? But, I mean, again...
Well, my point, all your other coaches are there.
Like, do I think that is another basketball coach in America who would miss two of three athletic department fan base engagement events when he was promoted as part of them? Do I think that there's an...
Well, he's promoted as part of the first one. I think going the days before, they didn't put his name out there, but obviously... I think before, the intention when they put this together, I'm sure it was to have all of them for all of them.
Exactly.
That's why you had Silverfield and Alex.
So do I think there's another coach in America? Like, do I think Cal would miss two of three at Arkansas? Do I think Todd Golden would miss two of three at Florida? Do I think, you know, Mike Woodson would miss two of three at Indiana? You know, I don't. Now, again, Penny plays by different rules here because he's the legend and former NBA player and all that. So we know that, but it's also the facts, you know. There are things you have to sort of grit your teeth and do as the college basketball.
And they're
coach.
Not as fun to do when,
right.
You know, a player told you he's coming back or whatever else.
And they're not sexy.
He should be back or, you know, or you're coming off a season like last year, but it's still, it's really more critical that you do it now than ever. It's easier to have faith in your program when you're coming off of a season where
Absolutely.
You just missed like that Kendrick DeAndre season.
Yep.
Right? That kind of sells itself. We're so close.
And look, I get it. He doesn't want to do it, right? Because of the season and how ugly it got and the David Jones thing. Like, there's a lot of negative momentum. So I get it. But you got to do it, man. You got to stand up. You got to face it. They're the easiest people you're going to have.
I'm just looking at it from the other, just from the simple, based on the fact, I'm looking at the other head coaches there, looking around. I'm here.
Right.
I've been to all three of these.
And there's an empty chair.
I'm doing, right. That's what I'm saying. They did their part of the job.
Absolutely.
At the very least, though, you have Stansberry or somebody. Get the Andre thing announced.
Yeah.
That's perfect for Andre Turner.
Yeah.
He'd have him eating out of the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
Like, that's a perfect situation.
But there's so much change over there.
But maybe so much is in flux, too, and you've got to factor everything.
Everybody.
And there's nothing's official.
Moved around,
nothing's official, so maybe that's part of it as well. You got Just missed opportunity.
Man. I don't think this is an unfair conversation at all.
No, man. And again, as part of it, shout out to Ryan, shout out to Coach Simmons, and shout out to Matt Reiser. They're out there trying to, you know, raise attention, raise excitement levels about the programs. That is part of it. That's why they're there.
Yeah, I hope everything's good.
Shout out to Memphis football too, because it does seem like.
But again,
man, folks are excited because it's the chance to make this college football playoff, man.
Again, like,
it's a different level
Silverfield,
of excitement.
And I think Silverfield would have done it even if he didn't have good momentum news to ride. But it's super super good to be him right now, just because of everything. You're coming off the 10 wins. You got the NIL. You got everybody back.
You got your extension.
You got all these. You got Antoine Hill coming in on
visit. Yeah, they're getting high school guys.
They're they're feeling good over there, and that is not the vibe at Memphis basketball. So that should be said. But like it or not, you still have to. These are your fans. These are not Tennessee fans that you're having to go sit in front of and throw tomatoes at you. These are people that want to love on you, right?
Right.
That want to know about what's happening in your team, and unfortunately, they did not get that opportunity.
Even more critical when you got so many new guys. And this is happening yearly. And that's college basketball.
Right.
But that's why it's even more critical that you sell.
Right. All right, we'll come back. Anthony's hanging to join us. We'll talk to him about Grizz draft, NBA Finals. Got Faye Brack coming up a little later in the show. Brevin Knight will join us at 1:25. I've just done a really bad job.
It's just a little off.
Setting up the show. I've done a terrible job. I didn't set it up today.
You've been so excited to get into the topics that you've left off our guests.
Yeah. So Anthony Sands going to join us next. And then Brevin Knight, a.k.a. Mr. Keep It Real, 1:25. And we'll continue the NBA Finals discussion with him. Get into some Grizz draft and more. Stick around. Jason and John, I just trying to fam, ESPN.
FanDuel wants you to join in on all the action, all the crazy shots, everything going on this week at Pinehurst. Right now, all customers get a profit boost, every round of the U.S. Major. That means you can boost your outright winners, your longest drive bets, and so much more. Plus, bet on finishing position and get paid in full for ties. You will not see that on any other sports book. I'd be using my profile boost at this point. I don't know. Scottie Scheffler hadn't played so well, so I'd have to look again. But don't wait. Go to FanDuel.com right now. Find your man. FanDuel.com/JSMITH. That's the promo code JSmith. To get started, take advantage of your profit boost every round at Pinehurst, maybe DeChambeau at this point. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of 929 FM. ESPN must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Opt-in required. Bonus issued is non-drawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
Anthony Sands is the host of the Anthony Sands Show on Bluff City Media. Make sure you're checking it out. Tribal Chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group. Father of 5-star 2032 multi-sport prospect, not just football prospect, although he's a big one there, Gabriel Sane. Follow him on X at Sane Asylum. He joins us now like he does every Friday. Grateful to have him. Big event coming up.
Yeah, man. Big event happening this Saturday at Black Lodge. 901 Wrestling, another show coming up for you guys. Giving away tickets today as well, man. We're giving away two for, last week. I still got to get my guy squared away, but we're giving away two today. We're going to keep this simple. We can let this happen in the background while we're having the show. I'll tell you about the show, of course, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at Black Lodge. The main event is going to be the Merc Chris Evans versus his cousin, his blood cousin. This ain't black people cousin. They real blood cousins.
Real blood cousins.
Adonis, Prince Adonis. They've been going at it for the last few months, man. This match has been in the ring, outside the ring. We're hoping to close this out this Saturday in a Falls Count Anywhere match at Black Lodge. Get your tickets now. It's also family night. Jason Smith, in honor of Father's Day, bring your kids to the show. They get a free picture in the ring at 901 Wrestling this Saturday night at 7 p.m. They get inside the ring. Get to do their thing. Imagine the memories you can give your kids to let them get inside the wrestling ring for the first time. This Saturday, Black Lodge, 7 p.m. Tickets at 901wrestling.com. And if you're interested, just call in. We can go ahead and call in now. We'll get all your information, your name, email, things like that. And we'll get you the first person that calls in. We'll get you
give them that number. It's right there in front of you.
The number is 901-445-0929. Give us a call and we'll get you squared away if you want to come out and check it out. And if you want to purchase tickets, you can go to 901wrestling.com.
Bro, you like Mean Gene with it now.
Yeah, man. This is what I do, man. This is what I do. Shout out to Corey Macklin, man.
Shout out to Corey Macklin.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah, for sure. Y'all got to check out my show today, too, man. Check out the podcast anytime. You talk about heroes, man. You talk about Memphis legends. The GOAT, Elliott Perry, is going to be on my show today.
EP.
Check it out, man. Great interview with Elliott Perry. We talked about the NBA, of course. We talked about the Grizzlies. Talked about the Tigers. It's just some of his humanitarian efforts he's done here in the city of Memphis, man. He's a real Bruce Wayne, so to speak, man.
I know he was had Derrick Rose over there, like, turning him on to the art world.
Yeah, man. He's on some whole nother stuff, man. Like, he's a real Bruce Wayne here, for real. He's Elliott Perry by day and Batman by night, for sure. He's fighting for Gotham, for sure, man. A lot of people don't know the things that Elliott Perry does behind the scenes, but, yeah, we touched on some of that. Go check that out today, Anthony Desane Show, YouTube.com.
Now, was he one of your goats on the he was on?
I would not be a basketball fan if it wasn't for Elliott Perry.
Well, I'm saying you had a list you put out this week.
Nah, that was media people.
Oh, media. Gotcha.
That was media.
Although he does kind of delve into that, too.
I don't really consider him.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He didn't have anything to do really with me in that realm, but the list of 10 that I had were definitely, you know, including my guy Jason Smith.
Jason was one of the
humbled,
goats.
Humbled and grateful.
Yeah. And you did get list. A little bit of pushback on your own list.
People are so goofy, man.
that is the nature of
what is
Twitter.
Wrong? What is, man?
That was going to happen.
I'm so disgusted with Twitter these days. just the discourse that happens on there.
You literally say they're not in no order, and then people are like, but my first one would be.
Like, bro, you don't do what I do, and how can you tell me what should influence me? Like,
right, you said my list.
I do think people just enjoy, they love arguing.
They love arguing.
I'm like, bro, I don't want to argue no more.
That's what the app is about now, though.
It is.
Yeah.
It pays to argue.
Yeah.
You get that Stripe check to argue. And you know, or like just create a division somewhere along the line.
Or try to push someone to the point where they block you, and then you got this badge of honor where so-and-so blocked me. Like, dude, I don't care. I hope that makes you feel good.
Well, you know what? I think it was Kev on stage talk about this.
Mm, I retweeted it.
Yeah, that was you. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was like, I don't even care anymore.
Right.
If you think it's like you win because I block you.
Yeah, you win, bro.
Whatever.
You win, big dog.
I just ain't got to see your stupidity no more.
Yeah.
So, I win.
Yeah.
You know? But that is part of it, right? I've had that same sort of internal battle with, you know what I'm saying?
I block people. My block list is probably like 200 or something. Like,
I don't think you need to be ashamed of that.
No, not at all.
I used to think just mute, but, bro, muting is not
enough.
I'm
getting you up out of here. You don't have access to my space.
You cannot engage in my...
At all, bro. Yeah.
No doubt.
You don't have that type of access to me. You come at me stupid one time, you're out of here.
Absolutely.
Like, I know it's a thing now to just go on Twitter and just say whatever and just be as racist or crazy or just say whatever you want to be offensive as possible.
Exactly.
You got one time with me.
No, I keep all my racist stuff on Truth Social.
Exactly,
like, over there, I'm like, Caitlin Clark.
Right.
You know, but I will say it has broken our brains, I think Twitter has, because, you know, we had Bomani on the show and you talked about, he said we are addicted to the outrage. Like, we keep opening this app, we know what it is, and in the rare event that somebody will say something nice to me on Twitter, I'll just kind of like, ignore it. You know, I'll kind of just like, you know, scoff over it. But if somebody wants to come at me personally and attack me, I'm like, you know, the gloves are off. Let's go.
Well, I'll
engage with that.
I definitely, you know, whenever somebody says anything good to or about me, I soak that stuff.
You want to acknowledge it.
Yeah, I kick the BS out so fast, man. And some people, I engage with them because it is entertaining just to see how stupid these people are. And then just to say, okay, when you're done, I'm about to one-up you. Because that's something that Bomani Jones, he's one of my goats for sure, man. the fact that he engages with so many clowns on Twitter, and he wins. Like, he's beaten, like, he's undefeated. Like, he's tearing all these people up on Twitter. So, like, I enjoy doing this sometimes. And it's crazy because you hear people say things like, well, why does KD engage with people? Now, I think KD engages a little bit too much. But why is it okay for somebody to just, like, randomly at Kevin Durant and say some goofball stuff? Like, why aren't we dealing with that person? Why are we getting mad at KD for clapping back on people? Like, I think it can be excessive. I don't think you need to respond to everything. But every now and again, man, you got to let people know, hey, man, go play with your kids, man. Don't stop playing with me.
John has made the case using analytics that the Celtics team is one of the best ever.
Third best modern team in terms of the SRS.
Otherwise? What can make you suggest otherwise? Like, that team has won 80% of their last... If they win tonight, they're on an 80% clip. 80-20 in their last 100 games, man. That team is good. And I've just been sitting back quiet the whole playoffs, man, because everybody's had stuff to say about Boston and they ain't beat nobody. And I'm like, dude, they lost two games this entire playoffs. And the team that everybody, if you looked at all the polls and the predictions, people had Dallas, a lot of fans, not me, a lot of fans had Dallas beating Boston. And they're like, I said this on Twitter, and I know John will get this analogy. Jason, you probably won't. They're like babyface Roman Reigns, bro. Like, you don't want to see them winning, but they're good, bro. Like, yeah. You're tired of looking at them, you know what I mean? And that's because of early success. Yep. Just like with Roman Reigns, you know, they pushed him super early in his career, and now you're just kind of tired of looking at Boston because they've been so good for so long.
You know, and they're kind of boring in the press conferences. Yeah. You know, just like Roman was a little boring on the mic, you know. But they definitely look the part, and they get it done.
Right. You got a fashion model and an activist is their two star players. You know what I mean? Those guys, like, they're not those type of dudes. And even when Jason Tatum's being petty, it's not – the stuff he's saying should hit harder than what it is, but it's just not. He's just not that dude. He's just a dude out there playing basketball with his son, doing warm-ups. Like, he's just that kind of dude. So, but yeah, they're not a very exciting team as far as exciting personalities. I think they're two amazing dudes. Like I said, I think Jason Tatum is a super cool guy, great father, things like that. We know the things that Jaylen Brown does on and off the court. So I love Boston. If there weren't no Memphis Grizzlies, I'd be a Boston Celtics fan. I think it's crazy the way people have over-evaluated their team. Like I said, you can't deny what they've done. You can't deny the style of play they have, the way that they're a team who we're going to take 53-pointers a game. And if we're missing those, at any time we can say, okay, let's go to the basket, let's go to the mid-range. And they just kind of put you away, bro. And they're a very hard team to beat. And I think they're going to close out, you know, tonight and get this thing over.
I think this is a different Jaylen Brown in the sense that and I wonder if you agree. I brought it up with John early in the week. I almost think that we have seen the on-court leader in him emerge because that path has been cleared by moving on from Marcus Smart, a guy that those young guys used to defer to because he was there, and hell, he'd be taking shots at the end of games sometimes just because they couldn't get it figured out. But when you move on, it, almost like a necessary part of Jaylen Brown or Tatum's growth, just in terms of both of them stepping up, taking over leadership, vocal leadership, this is mine.
Right.
Like, I feel like Jaylen has stepped into that.
And see, that's a good point.
And I thought losing Marcus was going to hurt him. But I think
it made
there was growth from that.
Because I never thought about it like what you're saying, but even with him being there, even with Marcus Smart being there, it almost feeds to the whole divisiveness those two were getting. But now that there is no Marcus Smart, it's clear that those two guys are the guys.
Right.
Because it's like those two guys weren't taking it by the reins because you had Marcus Smart there.
Who was the vocal leader.
Right.
And a lot more sometimes.
Right. And that is Smart is gone. Those two guys, you know, Jason Tatum is fine deferring to Jaylen Brown. He's fine to being a decoy, so to speak, and rocking teams to sleep and letting Jaylen Brown go off. Those they're comfortable in that. And like I say all the time on Twitter, man, I would love to see those guys mic'd up in the game and just see their interactions. Because we've been sold a lot of BS about those guys as far as, like, made-up narratives about those guys. And they clearly are friends. They clearly want to see each other win, and they want to see each – they want to compete, man. And I think that, like I said, I love watching them play. I love what Boston does. And like I said, this is going to be ring number 18 for them. And like I said, this has been a historic season, man, no matter how you want to try to frame it. Those dudes won 80% of their games, bro. 80 out of the last 100 is what they've done this season. So you can't deny where they are historic.
Yeah, and on the other side, you know, it was all good just a week ago for Luka.
Yeah, we had to, Luka, then, you know.
Now we're tearing him down a little bit too much, though, aren't we?
I agree.
That's what you find out is that.
That dude has gotten a pass his entire career for being white James Harden. And, like, nobody's been saying that until these playoffs. And I'm glad I stood on that 5 years ago, for real. Like, Luka's game is very flawed. Like, he's one of the best offensive scoring players I've ever seen. But the fact that he is horrible on defense, and he's extremely out of shape, bro. Like, nobody. He really should be criticized with the way that he does not take care of his body. And a lot of things that are defensive deficiencies are because he's out of shape. And
if you go back and look at everything, COVID highlights,
it's
a different person.
He was killing.
That dude was like svelte and like getting up and down the court.
He doesn't value his body. And y'all be thinking I'm joking too, bro. Y'all need to stop saying Luka 25 too, because that dude's not 25 years old. Y'all got to stop playing like Luka's 25, bro. Like he might have been 25 during the pandemic, but he ain't 25 now.
I think he's like, the Slovenian.
Yeah, he's Slovenian.
So it's like really 35 because he smokes cigarettes.
Luka's probably 27, 28 years old.
I'm with you. I mean, Zion is somebody that gets really now, I don't think he's as big as Zion, but Zion, you know,
he gets all that heat. James Harden got all that
Stephen
heat.
Stephen A. Smith goes on there and, like, says, you know, I saw your belly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Ain't nobody saying Luka's out of shape and he looks horrible. And he's playing horrible.
And it's part of why he's in constant foul trouble. His blow-bys, I think, are historically, it's like the most percentage of blow-bys in the history of a series, 60-some-odd percent. I mean, it's crazy how bad he is. And look, I agree. I do think he has been great, though, in his career.
For sure.
It's not like he hasn't delivered, so we're giving him a pass because he hasn't. You know what I'm saying? He has delivered. So, I don't know. This has been underwhelming from him, and he made a really – and I think the whining and the complaining and the grading, like, that's enough.
Screaming at the bench to channel review. That was horrible.
Like, no, he wears on you. Yeah. You know, he's probably not that easy to play with.
That's not worse to me than sitting on the ground, though, and still complaining about the foul call. And on the other end, you're giving up a basket because you won't give up. Mm-hmm. I mean, even you shouldn't be yelling at your team, your staff and all that, like acting like a little baby. But, man, the effort level was just
horrible. And then at that point of the game, to lose your best player for the last 4 minutes of the game from just getting killed. And like I said, they're targeting the hell out of him, man.
They absolutely are. So, listen, I mean, I don't know. Like, I will say this about sweeps. They're incredibly difficult to pull off in the finals. Like, I go back to the 2017 Cavs-Warriors series. First three games, this is the KD year, of course. Warriors are blowing their doors off. They win by 20 and 30, then they win game three in Cleveland, and then they just lose game four, right? The Warriors lose game four because, you know, it's just difficult to do. Whatever the best effort for Dallas is tonight, you're going to get it.
Right.
There's just no doubt about it. Porzingis is a game-time decision. I do not expect him to play. Would make really no sense to me.
Yeah.
So it really won't matter whether they win tonight or not. Yeah. This series is definitely over, but we were talking about it yesterday. There's certainly no guarantee, as great as Luka is and has been, this could be it for him in the finals. But Devin Booker, won finals.
Yep.
KD without the Warriors, won finals. Mm-hmm. Joker, won finals. Giannis, won finals.
Yep, they did not go back.
You know, you got to have the stars align, bro.
Yeah.
And they did, and they took advantage, you know.
Yep.
But the year the Grizzlies were in the Western Conference Finals, stars aligned. KD was out.
Didn't get back.
You know, didn't get back. You know, so you cannot take these moments for granted. Oh, man, we got there. You know, our window's open.
We'll be right back, yeah.
Bro, your window is, like, cracked in the NBA.
Because next year, West is going to be extremely wide open, bro, because Memphis will be back. The Kings will be back. New Orleans will be back. Like, you think New Orleans is going to do something. But like I said, the West is going to be extremely wide open next year. Like, it could be anybody.
What about JJ and the Lakers?
Yeah, don't forget about them.
Super old with. You know where I think LeBron's going?
Where?
Golden State.
For what, now?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to opt out, go to Golden State now.
Why don't they hire JJ? It's his podcast, buddy.
Hey, man, they're the coach of the Lakers, bro.
They drink wine together.
Hey, man, it's not the coach of the Lakers. We was talking about Dan Hurley being the coach of the Lakers last week.
But that was always a fraud, a front.
How we know LeBron ain't helping out his guy, and I'm going to go ahead and go somewhere else. I got you the gig, but I'm gone.
Well, would he still want it? Would he be doing him a favor at that point?
Hey, if I'm J.J. Redick, I'd rather coach the Lakers without LeBron than coaching with him.
I'm with you on that.
Wouldn't I rather just stay as an analyst, though?
For security.
If the Lakers are – because that whole Dan Hurley thing feels like we're looking for life after LeBron, right, if you're hiring that type of coach.
Well, if they really were there, they offered more than $70 million, though, right? That was a low-ball offer.
Yeah, but if I'm J.J. Redick, I'd much rather be the Lakers coach with a true rebuild than screwing around with 40-year-old LeBron.
Agree with that 100%.
Yeah, it's not a good situation. I mean,
that's why Windhorst said J.J. Redick's got people close to him saying, are you sure this is what you want
to do? Yeah, it's crazy. It'll be crazy
if with LeBron out there, it'll just be based on whether or not he wins a title.
Well, that's why, like, when the initial Hurley news broke, my first tweet was, why would he do this?
And I knew it was BS.
And I had people in my mentions, they're like, because it's the Lakers.
No.
Like, bro, that don't mean nothing.
go look at the Lakers' history. Like, who their last few coaches have been since Phil Jackson.
Bro, Darvin Ham?
Yeah, go look at their coaches since Phil Jackson.
Rudy Tomjanovich?
Bums.
Like, I mean.
What's his name? Not Brian Shaw.
Luke Walton?
Not Brian Shaw. What's the other dude that played in the era? Byron Scott. You know, these types
of. Yeah, bro.
Yeah, Luke Walton, get out of here, man.
Yeah, like it's supposed to be this like prestigious job, man, where like not, anybody has to take it if you're offered. No, dude.
That stuff means nothing.
That's a toxic mess.
Yep.
And then on top of that, I got to navigate 40-year-old LeBron who still thinks he's 23.
Yeah.
I got Anthony Davis who will give me maybe 60 games if I'm lucky and will absolutely break down in the playoffs inevitably. I got to figure out what the hell I'm going to do with D'Angelo Russell. I don't want to coach that. I don't want to be a part of that situation. And then what else do I have? Austin Reeves. You know, it's thin, bro. But and again, it's all accompanied with, it's not like, hey, we know we have work to do. It's we don't have any money. We don't have any flexibility.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you got to win.
Right.
Who the hell wants to do that?
Right. Right.
How quickly could the Spurs be a threat if they go get a point guard?
Man.
They go get Garland or something.
They got a lot of tools, man. They got, it's they still got be a year space. To, they know. Got a nice little, couple little guys with good movable contracts. Especially with them
just
having
a move that puts them up in the play-in contention.
Especially with them having two top 10 picks too, man.
Mm-hmm.
If you mess around and you get, you know, two guys on the wing that can knock down shots too, like yeah, because I'm looking hard at Dalton Connect, right? I really hope Dalton Connect falls to 9.
Yeah,
but the Spurs at 8.
Both of y'all kind of sold on Dalton. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I mean, I just love his production. I love his jumper. I think, again, what he does is what the Grizz need.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Connecting Ron Holland, my two dudes, around 9, if you're gonna go wing or whatever.
How much is Ron Holland playing next year?
Well, that's the issue, right?
That's what I'm asking. I know Connect is, because I know what he brings up. How much is Ron playing?
If he can be a high level defender, he can play next year, and I think he can be a high level defender in the league. And he's a guy that can get
that's
to the basket. You know, he can get to the basket and he can, you know, draw fouls. I don't think he's going to be able to shoot the ball worth anything next year. But if he can, what's the guy's name? Prime example of another guy who was just a straight up defender and he developed a jump shot in the NBA. Crazy defender, New Orleans.
Herb Jones.
Yeah. Like, he was playing NBA minutes his first year strictly because he was just a really good defender. And I think that, if anything, that Ron Holland could definitely be there, if nothing else.
Yeah, I just think, like, he has the chance, right? He's going to be a project, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, you'd have to invest
in him. I don't think anything's wrong with having it. Like, I don't think, you know, like, we don't have a one-year window with the Grizzlies. Like, I think that we have to get something done over the next 2 to 3 years. And I think that having a guy that level talent, if he's on your roster, I don't think anything's wrong with developing that guy. Because we're developing Gigi, we're developing Vince. Those guys are not finished products. They're gonna get thrown in the fire this year and to kind of that's gonna be developing them, getting them ready for whatever they're gonna be. So I definitely don't think a guy if you take a guy like Ron Holland, I don't look at that as a wasted pick at all. But you're talking about a guy who could be coming in right behind Vince and Gigi being really, really good. I think he's a really good prospect. But if Connect is there, I would run to the podium and take him. If he's there at 9, but I like Holland too.
I'm just curious because you mentioned you know this sort of window right now, and we've used a lot of it. But you know, based on the fact that you got 2 years of Jaren on contract,
right?
What percentage chance do you think there is? And I'm guessing it would be low that you are not re-signing Jaren Jackson.
I don't think I think Jaren would want to be here first of all, and I think that he wouldn't make. It wouldn't be much haggling when it comes down to negotiations. I think he would want to be here.
Will these 2 years matter in him wanting to be here?
I think it would because if I could see a situation where the Grizzlies' style of play totally changes, where you go one big and four smalls, and Jaren might not be the guy that they want to be that one big. And, you know, that's just the business of the NBA. Mm-hmm. If you look at a team like Boston, who's about to win NBA championship, right, they run one big. And that's a five out big, but their five out big can also rebound. Whether it's Al Horford or that's Porzingis.
Right? Yep.
And
no
then you're playing two wings and two smalls, right? Could the Grizzlies pull off in stretches where they've got Ja Dez, Vince Gigi, or something like that? And Jaren, if that works, that's a dynamic lineup if you can get that to work. If you can rebound.
Rebound.
Team rebound or whatever you're doing. But it might be better suited for another dude, you know what I mean? So we'll have to see how those next 2 years play out. Like I said, it's the NBA is a business, man. You know, I'm a Jaren guy. Like, this is my number one.
I think we all are now.
Yeah, it's my guy. But, you know, we'll see what the next 2 years looks like. Because let's say that Gigi and Vince break out, and you could, and instead of playing Gigi at the four, at the three, you want to make him a four. Because he could definitely be play power four in the league. Jason Tatum is starting power four.
He can rebound, I've seen.
You know what I mean? Yep. So. And, you know, and that might help Jaren. The fact that GG, if he can rebound, him at the four with Jaren at the five may cover Jaren's stuff enough. You know what I mean? And Jaren might change it to a totally different type of player over the next couple of years. I mean, we don't know. Like, we'll have to see how that whole thing works out. But, like I said, this whole offseason, man, my brother nerves bad. I heard y'all talking about stuff with Penny and the Tigers and stuff like that. I'm like, man, I want to care about that. It's like, man, I'm so stressed out. But
I don't know Penny care right now.
It's so many ways the Grizzlies can go with this, man. Like, as far as getting a big and what they do in the draft and moving up, moving down, moving around, moving out. There's so many things they can do with that number 9 pick and just with the assets they have available. Like, what do you do with Luke Kennard? Do you let him walk? Do you trade him? Do you keep him? Trade him at the deadline? We haven't even mentioned Marcus Smart. We talked about Marcus Smart on Boston. We haven't even talked about him on our team. What do you do with him? Does he want to be here?
He hasn't really played for this team yet.
Exactly. We don't even know what that looks like. Like, Marcus Smart being there next year may make us unbelievable. Like, we don't really at full kilt. We don't even know what that looks like. Shout out to my boy Keith Paris too, man. His show is called what is his show? Grits and Grind is his podcast, right? He was talking about the actual minutes that when we had everybody. Like, there was a couple games where we had Ja Bane, Marcus Smart, GG, and Vince,
right,
and Kennard, right,
right.
And he said that when the Grizzlies had all those guys, they played very small lineups to get combinations of three instead of combinations of two on the court. Basically, they were playing three guard lineups. So, you know, who knows what we'll see when the season gets started, man. But like I said, I talk to a lot of fans, engage with a lot of fans on Twitter and social media, and it's like, you know, everybody's hair is on fire about this big man thing. And
still need that type, right?
Yeah, yeah,
just for
yeah.
The versatility.
But I just don't think it's anything to really stress about. I think the Grizzlies have several options, and I think they've got you know, their pots in a lot of fire to make that happen. Because if you just kind of look at the league, man, there's a lot of things that could happen. There's a lot of things in the draft that could free up guys at other teams, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we've got some guys that at least mathematically line up with some of the contracts you see around the league, man, especially like a Luke Kennard contract, you know. So, but it's like, I can see a situation where the Grizzlies go say, okay, let me go get Jared Allen, right, who's like a 20-something million dollar all-star.
That's
center.
Who I want.
Like, I can see where the Grizzlies go get him, right? And it's like, okay, that's a guy who – do you close games with him? You kind of have to because it's Jared Allen. One of them type of things. But, you know, he's not a good free throw shooter. So, it's like, okay.
Bro, I'm out on Jared Allen.
Why? Steven Adams wasn't a good free throw shooter. It still worked.
I can give a full, but it didn't.
He's better than Steven, isn't he?
It worked, but in the playoffs, he had to sit down.
Yeah, because if he gets elbowed in the ribs, he's gone, bro.
Well, my guy was done with the situation, man.
But he's not a dependable player physically.
Let me finish what I'm saying, though. I can see where we go get a high-dollar guy like him, right? And it absolutely works.
Yes.
But I can also see where we go get Goga Batadze that plays like backup for the Orlando Magic. And it also works. It was like you can get him for like the tax level exception. Because it's like we get excited about certain guys. Like my guy, if somebody said, hey, would you take Isaiah Hartenstein? Like, hell yeah, I'd take Isaiah Hartenstein right now, right? But it's like Isaiah Hartenstein was like a backup big for the Clippers.
Yes.
3 years ago.
He's about to get Jaren money.
Right. It's like Steven Adams was looking horrible in New Orleans. People thought he was done.
Exactly.
It's like you put guys in the right situation, man.
No doubt.
And man, we were
74% from the line last year.
Who?
Jaren Allen? Yeah, bro, but you know enough
killing
of him.
Me, and I'm 74%.
I didn't know that. I honestly did not know that. Where, I didn't know he was that good of a free throw.
Career 71.1.
He's holistic with his.
But you understand what I'm saying, though? Like, you could get a guy like that, and it could work. Like they could be good. Well, it may not even take that much of a dude.
But I want to take the home run swing because of the 2 years, right?
I'm sending out Marcus to match the money. The Marcus money matches perfectly. But could I make a move where yeah, I could do all that. And I would be happy if we send out the number nine pick. If we go send out the number 9 pick and all that, we get back Jared Allen. That's cool. But a greedy side of me is like, can I do this a little cheaper and go get Dalton Connect, who might be.
Well, you'd be real smooth if you could pull off
and get a center that can do the same stuff, but he ain't got to be Jared Allen.